Well, the reading set for today, the 29th of December, is a reading that tells us a little bit about what happened to Jesus and his family in the immediate days after his birth. And in some ways, it's quite a nice coincidence that we're celebrating Isaac's baptism today at the same time as having a reading about Jesus when he was taken up to the temple for his own celebration of being born. Although he was, according to the reading here, only 8 days old. So there's a few differences between this reading and what's going to be enacted in the baptism for Isaac. But as we weave our way in and out, I think we'll also see how we can learn from Jesus' example. Now, these are probably the words of Mary herself, shared with Luke, who wrote this gospel, when he and Mary were in Jerusalem after Jesus had died, some 33 years later. So this is Luke having been told firsthand by Mary what had happened in those heady few days after Jesus was born. Fascinating insights into the first few days of his life. Now, things were a little bit different in terms of the welcome and the ritual that Jewish families had to go through. There were certain things that Jewish people were expected to do once they had a child, including circumcising the male infant, which we won't be doing today. But there were also purification rites for the mother, because in those days a loss of blood was a very awe-inspiring and worrying thing, so prayers were needed around that whole experience. Mary and Joseph named their son Jesus, the name they'd been given by the angel to them before he was born. Jesus means God saves us. Isaac, as I'm sure you probably know, means he laughs. And you know he does a lot of that. And so Mary and Joseph travel to the temple in Jerusalem, and they bring a pair of birds as a sacrifice. Now, I don't know if you brought any with you today, Matthew and Mel. You didn't. That wasn't part of the list of things, was it? No. But in those days, it was expected to bring a gift of thanks, really. And for poor people, it was a pair of birds. And while they were in the temple, they met two extraordinary people, Simeon and Anna. Now, I know, Mel, that you will meet, and Matthew, you'll meet some extraordinary people here today as you're having coffee. And we all welcome you. And it's a very important thing that we share together in this celebration and support you. And we'll be saying that together later as we pray for you. But it's interesting the people that Mary and Joseph met as they came up for Jesus' celebration. They met Simeon, who's described as a righteous and devout man, a man of integrity who did right by others, a man who was committed to his faith and to worshipping God. Just the kind of person you'd want around, isn't it, to help you as you're bringing up a child. Imagine the amazing scene then. The temple is a very busy place. Imagine Liverpool Street on a busy Friday afternoon. There's just people going everywhere. It's a bit like that for the temple. And standing in the middle of the temple was this old man, Simeon. And he'd been waiting and waiting and waiting, because he'd been promised that one would come, a Messiah, who would come and rescue and save his people. And in the middle of all of this craziness, of the busyness, he knows exactly where to go. So he goes up to this young couple and says, "May I hold your baby?" Now, they might have been a bit surprised, but they gave Jesus to him. And he had waited so long that something inside him burst at that point. Of course, holding a baby is a very precious thing, isn't it? For any parent, it's been at least 9 months in waiting. Or at least for the dad. I mean, I think the mum is a different kind of relationship. For some, even longer than 9 months, when it becomes complicated to conceive. It's a very special thing to hold your child for the first time, isn't it? And I'm sure it was for you two as you held Isaac for the first time. You cradle that floppy head and you hold them close and safe. And they're not doing any wriggling. They're just tired. They've been through a tremendous experience. Such a bundle of tiny limbs and measureless possibilities. What will this baby become? What will the future hold for them? That's exactly what was going through Simeon's mind. And it might too be questions we'd have for Isaac. Perhaps it's a bit too soon to have a clear answer as to what the future holds or what path he's going to take in life. Of course it is. But for Simeon, somehow he already knows the answer for Jesus. This boy who looks so ordinary is the Lord's Messiah. And the hopes and the fears of all the years are met in him. And so Simeon, who's waited so long for this moment, sings a strange and a beautiful song. We call it the Nunc Dimittis, and it literally means, now you dismiss. So for Simeon, this really old man, the waiting was over. He'd seen the one who would come and save his people, and now he could go and die in peace. Now, Mary and Joseph are a little overwhelmed by this, as you can understand. They're just simple people, poor people, and they're perhaps overwhelmed by all this attention and probably overawed by the whole experience of coming to the temple anyway. Perhaps it was a little bit difficult for them to be in the spotlight. And then Simeon goes on to say some more rather strange things to them. He says, your child, Jesus, is going to cause the falling and the rising of many and to be a sign that will be spoken against. What on earth is he going on about? Well, he was pointing to the future when, as Jesus grew and embarked on his ministry of healing and teaching as an adult, opinions became strongly divided about him. He was loved and hated in equal measure. He split the nation of Israel in two. Simeon says this child will also reveal the thoughts of many hearts. There will be something about this boy Jesus that reveals what's inside us, but only not only reveals, but makes it possible for the human heart to be changed deep down inside. But this work of bringing people down so that they make a new start, this work of pointing people to God, this work of transforming our hearts is going to come at a great, great cost for this baby. And so Simeon says to Mary, a sword will pierce your own heart too. He's pointing to the time when Mary will have to watch her own son die on a cross outside Jerusalem, a place where this great transforming work of love will be completed. Unbelievably hard as that would be for Mary, it would also pierce the heart of God himself, who sent Jesus to love and to live and to die for us, for Isaac, for everybody here, so that we could all be forgiven and have a relationship with God. Now today, in a moment, we're going to baptize Isaac. But it's also going to be a reminder for all of us, and a good reminder at the end of a year, the beginning of a year, of our own baptisms, our own promises that we've made to follow God. And in a minute, I'm going to sign Isaac with the sign of the cross, as a reminder that the cross is at the center of our faith as Christians. So that's their encounter with Simeon. And then along comes another amazing person, Anna. What an amazing character. A widow, a worshipper, and one who is also waiting to meet Jesus. She too gives thanks, and she tells everyone she met and who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem about this child. Now that's a strange thing to talk about. Well, what would she have said to people? She would have told them that he was the one that they were looking for. He would come and redeem his people, literally set them free. And Jesus came and said those words, I've come. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I've come to bring freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from bondage to all kinds of addictions and other things that people covered with and struggled with then and now. Freedom to enjoy a rich and a fruitful relationship with God. This is what Jesus promised then, and it's what he promises now. It's what he promises for me, for Isaac, for all of us here. It's what he's done. And I'm sure those of us who are on this path of walking with Christ are ourselves moved to joy and wonder afresh at this gift to us. So we've seen how much of an impression Jesus made on his parents and on Simeon and Anna. Simeon is moved to sing, "My eyes have seen salvation." Not that I've just read about it, but I've literally seen it in this baby whose name means God saves. In the words of our baptism, in a moment, I'm going to ask Isaac's mum and dad and godparents if they will do this turning to follow Christ as their saviour. But it's a question that's important for all of us to keep saying yes to. Whether we said it yes in the past, it's good to say yes again. That Jesus is the one whom we can put our trust in and follow, because he turns us and calls us afresh to follow him. And why is that a good thing to do? Well, it's because he, as it's described in the end of this reading, was strong and wise and full of the grace of God. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of person that I think is a good person to turn to and follow. Amen.